Welcome to another edition of Hockey Prospect Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. We're on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio, and we're happy to announce one of our new sponsors. Hockey Prospect Radio is brought to you by Power Scout Hockey, serving coaches and scouts everywhere with the hockey's ultimate data engine. And this week we're going to jump into some really interesting teams. We're always happy to bring on a regular guest of ours, Gordy Clark, the Director of Player Personnel for the New York Rangers. And Gordy, thanks for coming on the show again. We always appreciate it.
Well, you know, boys, I love talking hockey.
Well, Gordy, I want to ask you a question before we jump into some players. And I know this has been a bit of a buzzword over the last 3 or 4 months, particularly when it comes to the word analytics. And I know it's nothing new to the NHL teams. As much as I like to keep saying to my brethren in the media, it's not new. The guys have been working on it for quite some time. But obviously there's been a little bit more hype around those type of numbers. When you look at it, when you look at look at analytics from a prospect perspective, I know it's a lot more difficult to chart based on some of the variables in junior hockey. What do you think it would be the most challenging aspect of trying to use analytics to project, a junior player or a college player into the NHL?
Well, I think that one of the biggest problems would probably be just the various leagues that the scouting world for hockey takes in all over the world. You're looking at, we were goofing around one trip, and we had something like 260 leagues around the world, wow. Junior leagues, junior A, junior B, tier one, tier two, whatever junior is, all over the world, between Russia and Sweden and whatever at various levels of ability. And USHL, the OHL and WHL and Quebec we're obviously out there trying to look at all these 260 junior leagues and fit them in. And I'm counting colleges, too, because we're scouting colleges, and fitting them into this little league of 30 teams in the National Hockey League. And, they've all been brought up. It's not like, for baseball, it's all mostly in America. There are some Canadians and whatever. But everybody's looking at the same brand of high school baseball, and college baseball, and basketball is the same, and football is the same, and they're really from over here, most of the time. Basketball, there are some Europeans coming over now, but for the most part, ours is spread out all over the place, and I just don't know if you can compare, if the analytics can compare. There's no hitting in Europe. It's all high-end finesse. Ours is hitting. So the hitting thing doesn't come into play over there, which is one. But that's the biggest obstacle, I think, in what really I'm looking forward to see how this all comes about. Because, I think we're – most of the guys I've talked to in the game are all will do anything if it's going to help make our team, make the New York Rangers better. We're all for it. There's been a group working in the Rangers now for 2 years, and we're pretty close to it's getting going here.
Yeah, Gordy, that's something that Russ and I had talked about, and I've been working on prospect analytics for the last 5 or 6 years and trying to find the consistent variables that are the commonalities. And I agree with that's one of the biggest challenges is obviously the diverse leagues and the different styles of play. But the other one I find that one of the hardest things is the data source, because unless you're pulling the data yourself, the difficulty I see is you relying upon people that are sitting up in the booth doing the stats for you. It's not that these people aren't intelligent. It's just the difficulty is I can't trust the data because how inconsistent it is. I don't know if the guy is getting a sip of coffee or talking to the guy beside him or scratching his nuts. Like, I don't know. You know, we've seen junior ranks where we have the shot clock is ridiculous, and we know it's not accurate. So if we're going to end up using that type of data source, that's something that has to be alleviated or fixed or find a solution for as well, because that's going to seriously impact the accuracy of the numbers that you're going to use.
Yeah. Excuse me. I think, you know, I think once everybody is a pro over here, and hopefully that data can, can start to be used at the minor league level and pro level, where if you're having trouble with clocks being different and everything, and then we do have a major problem, because everything has to be the same when you're trying to do the analytics. And everybody should get the information. So I was mostly talking from the drafting side of it for me, where I just don't know how anybody could get the data to even out. It's almost like you would have to do one for Europe, one for Canadian Junior, one for U.S. So that's what I was sort of talking about. But I mean, I think it's, you know, I mean, it's definitely going to happen. I've actually gone over you. I've sat down with you and listened to your stuff. It's always very interesting, and I knew it was going to come around someday. And I know my scouts and myself. I'm open. Our owner is really into it with the, you know, owning the Knicks and the Rangers. So I'm just sort of waiting for the process to start, and go in and learn it myself, because right now I got to run around all over the world and go look at players.
Yeah, even hockey, though, is ahead of the NBA, because really only within the last couple of years the NBA even started to care about plus-minus. That became a big deal for them, and I couldn't even tell you how long that's been around in the NHL. But I give scouting departments great credit, because that's the one area, Gordy, that is cap-friendly. You could always add to it if your owner's willing to pay for it. And you could always spread out and cover more. And I think since the cap era, most teams have done that, and the Rangers have done a great job with that.
Yeah, and I think what happens is every analytical group has a different way of doing it, and there's going to be some that are going to be successful, some that aren't, and I guess you're always going to wonder, are we using the right one? Are they using the right one? So I mean that's just bound to happen. It happens in every industry.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio, brought to you by Power Scout Hockey, serving coaches and scouts everywhere with hockey's ultimate data engine. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're speaking with Gordy Clark, Director of Player Personnel for the New York Rangers. Gordy, let's get into some of the kids that are in your system. Russ and I want to ask you about, because it's early in the season, so some of them haven't played a lot of games, but I want to ask you about Brady Shea. He's a guy that we've talked to you about over the last couple seasons. And what were your thoughts on how he played last year, and what are your guys' expectations for him this year to take his game to another level?
Well, I think Brady had the year that you would hope for, that all your prospects could have. He's been playing as a regular for University of Minnesota since he went in as a freshman, and playing in every situation. And then last year, they got the shot at going all the way to the Frozen Four. So, through two seasons now, and playing regular, and being one of the top universities, and then going to the Frozen Four. We watched him go all the way, and it's a long season for college players, and. I personally feel that if he made a decision to come out, and we just wait and see what a college player wants to do. But if it showed any interest, I would have said to him that you're ready if he asked me. So that's how far I think he's come as strength and his skating. He's in that mold of strength like Kreider and McDonough, mm-hmm. just pure, real, not only being a top athlete, but a real built athlete, very naturally strong. So, if he came out this year, I could probably tell you that he was probably going to No, especially with the injuries we have already, like one of Dan Boyle, he might have already been up there. So that's how highly I think of how he's come along.
Yeah, I saw his work ethic is tremendous. His strength is definitely tremendous. His skating is great. I did see a little hiccup in the Frozen Four, but I think it was a little wear and tear. But overall, I think this is the plus side, too, of drafting players in good college programs, Gordy, because we're finding now that kids do come out in unbelievable condition, many times better bulk and muscle-wise, better than the CHL, not necessarily skill-wise, but definitely with that part of the conditioning, college seems to be ahead of Canadian junior leagues, actually.
Well, they have more time for it during the week, for sure, because they play on the weekends. A junior team can only do maintenance. Your players have to do it during the season, and during the summer. And then you're just doing maintenance after that. But the other thing too is when a junior kid is, well, I should say a good player, they're coming out at 20, mm-hmm. And whereas the college kids, they can be 22, 23 before they're coming out. So they've had a couple of years of being more of a man,
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gordy.
No, I was done.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Hockey Prospect Radio is brought to you by Power Scout Hockey, serving coaches and scouts everywhere with hockey's ultimate data engine. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're talking New York Rangers prospects with Director of Player Personnel, Gordy Clark. And, Gordy, we want to ask you about Cristobal Neves. He's a guy I'm intrigued with because you talk about somebody who's that athlete who can play a lot of different sports, and just patiently waiting to watch where this kid goes. Because when you're 6'3 and you're over 200 pounds, it's third year in college hockey. He's a guy that, even though you took later in the second round, could make you guys look very favorable because he seems to have all the tools. And is it just a matter of patience with you guys with him?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we knew that he might need all 4 years, of development. That's what we saw with Hagelin, for instance, at the same school, mm-hmm. and waiting for him. And Bouniez is he stepped in as a freshman at that particular time. At first, Shane and Russ, we had really all sat down in our organization. Where's the game going? And the game was going obviously to speed and skating, mm-hmm. and skill. And we made, some of the deals we made for Nash and Gabbert and we sort of felt, and we saw it all come, sort of help us out last year to get us where we went. So Brady Shea was in that era and Duclair, who obviously we'll talk about, so that's what we were intrigued by, the size of him with his skating, for Bouniez. And he plays a freshman. We're very happy. They're happy. He's a real more of a playmaker than a shooter. Mm-hmm. That part can come. But Michigan they felt that they hadn't had a playmaker there in the last 7 or 8 years as good as Boo. So he did it. And then last year he lost his job. And I think he spent too much time, woe is me. I made it as a freshman. I should have had to, but you don't get guaranteed a job. You have to go back and you have to earn it again. And the good news about it is that Boo finally figured that out. Adam Graves is the guy that goes around as our development guy, and he knows how to talk to these guys and be brutally honest with them, about what happened. And Boo had nobody to blame except himself, and he took that upon himself. He had an unbelievable workout year this summer, went to school also, and got knocked off some courses, so he doesn't really have a whole lot left. And then he came back. He had to compete for the puck a lot more. And if he doesn't do it, he can play and add that to his game. That's what you project. When you're going to go to Red Berenson and Michigan, it's a high level school and they get your skating going faster and they play a high skill game. So he figured it out. He was to blame, and he did something about it. And he's having a great, He's having a great start. Maybe it isn't the big numbers. It looks like the team's struggling a bit, but he's way better at competing for pucks, which you have to if you're not going to play, have any chance in the NHL if you don't do that, because he has all the God-given ability to skate and make plays. But now he has to learn the other part, and he's done that. And we're proud that he made that decision.
Well, Gordy, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'd like to keep you on the air and talk a little bit more about Ranger Prospect Hockey. So for everyone out there, we'll be back right after these important messages.
Don't cry, don't raise your eyes.
Welcome back to Hockey Prospect Radio on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio, brought to you by Power Scout Hockey, serving coaches and scouts everywhere with hockey's ultimate data engine. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're continuing to talk about the New York Rangers prospects with Director of Player Personnel, Gordy Clark. And Gordy, I know you recognize that intro music. Is the old cult classic, The Warriors, and you were telling us a story off-air that you and Mike Milbury actually showed that to your team back in the day about coming together as a team and the importance of backing each other up.
Well, those were, you know, that was in Montreal, and obviously everybody knows the rivalry that they have. And back then was a much more physical rivalry, and you had to be ready for each game, and it was appropriate for the time, and the guys loved it.
Well, Gordy, I want to ask you about a couple more players, and obviously the one that first comes to mind, and Russ and I have talked about this player a lot over the last couple of years, and that's Duclair. I mean, a kid, clearly, you know, we watched him in Quebec with the Remparts and had, you know, exceptional skating ability and clearly had, you know, the hockey sense and the NHL shot. Wasn't the tallest guy, but you could see that he had room in his frame to fill out and could make plays at high speed and in traffic. And that's one thing I noticed about junior players is there's very few guys who can make plays when they're at full speed and see what's happening and move the puck. And most guys have to be pretty stationary or moving slow. And are you, even you, a little bit surprised with how quickly he's made that adjustment to the pro game at the NHL level?
I guess you probably were thinking it was going to be another year because you know, I just wanted that one last look, like we were talking about Brady Shea earlier. You know, the team was going to look like it might. I wanted to see how far they could go in the playoffs. He was at 50 goals when he got hit. And I just wanted that little bit more to see, you know, what can he do in the playoffs now? Can he pick it up there? That's how you know about these guys. And we never got a chance to do that. So, but the stuff we saw him doing, you know, he just didn't have a good draft year, and that's why he slipped. We were a little surprised he slipped, obviously, to the third round. But you know, he'd be the first to tell you he didn't have the year he wanted. It was great watching him in the underage year, and. And I relied on that more than anything. And then my Quebec scout Dan Dory just watched them the whole year. And Dan's hard to please. And he waited till the kid really showed him in the second half. And we stayed on him. So some of the stuff we saw him do, what was that kind of stuff? Because he sort of had a little bit of a reputation of maybe being too individual. But some of the plays we were watching him make. As well as goals, individual goals, and then making plays for other people. We were seeing that part of it because a lot of junior kids do that. A lot of junior guys can go hand to hand more in junior, but you just know it isn't going to happen as much in the pros. So if you don't move the puck, you're going to have a tough time. So I can't say it's a big surprise because we did see him doing it. And at the World Junior Camp, I mean the stuff that him and Reinhardt had going between the two of them, he was setting Sam up for as many as he was being set up for, and we definitely saw it at that time, before he came to Traverse City and our boot camp. So, but yeah, surprised at the fact that you know, right now he's with the Rangers and just sat his first game out the other night, but that's all in the learning curve. And when somebody stays with the team like this, you got your nine games to view him. It doesn't have to be decided in the first game or second game. He definitely deserved to be there. And now it's up to him to see if he can stay there.
Yeah, I'll tell you a few things that have struck me about Duclair. And I remember his draft year. I didn't get to talk to him, but I saw him around the rink just after he was drafted, and he was just laughing it up and talking to some of his buddies from other teams. And I could see he had a real good personality. And then I watched him play. And then I remember you coming on the show last year saying, yeah, you just didn't like the fact that maybe he was relying on just his talent too much in the league he was in and need to play more whistle to whistle. And I saw him come into camp, play in the preseason, do everything that you wanted him to do, whistle to whistle. And then I interviewed him and I said, so it looks like you put on about 5 pounds of muscle, right? And he goes, 10. And he looks it. And so he told me about his off-ice training program, and certainly his speed is NHL caliber. And now you could see a better finished product, and whether he's really right where he's going to be or not, we don't know. But I got to tell you, everything so far has worked out really well for him.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I saw it in his eyes. We brought him into a couple of playoff games in Montreal, and like you said, that's unbelievable, intense hockey. You know, the other team hates you. The building hates you. And he came in and sat with us, and I was just watching him. He was so quiet, just watching it. And I know I saw just somebody say, I want to be in there someday. I want to be doing that kind of stuff. And he, you know, when I saw him in New York, he had, like, his dad's a thick guy. His uncle played, you know, CFL, and his pecs all started to pop. His legs are popping. So I think he's going to be he's actually very, very strong in his feet. You know, when he even now in the NHL. So, you know, like I said, Glenn Sather's always been the type that if he doesn't care who you are or how old you are or how young you are, if you show that you deserve to be there, then you get to stay.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio, brought to you by Power Scout Hockey, serving coaches and scouts everywhere with hockey's ultimate data engine. Gordy, the next guy we want to talk to you about is a guy that we've been chatting with for the last 3 or 4 years now, and Dylan McElrath, who was your first-round pick in 2010 and went through some injuries, recovered. I thought last year he had a real strong year, just playing a more simple, contained game. We all know he's going to get 100-plus PIMs every year because he's going to play that style. That's who he is, and you don't want to get away from that. What are your thoughts on his development over the last year, and what are the organizations and your expectations of him going into this season?
Well, I think it's, you know, other than, you know, he lost most of 1 year there when the kneecap was really bad, and then he had a little, you know, it looked like he injured it again. It wasn't as bad. Same thing, same knee. And the kneecap, thank God, went back into place. So, you know, really he's played, you know, he's been there for 2 years, but he's really only played the amount of games of a little more than one season. So I think this first half of the season is going to be important to him. He's playing Jeff Bukaboom's down there. He was there last year. He played the heck out of him every situation, penalty killing. Maybe not the power play, but, 5-on-5 and penalty killing, you know, and he's for the job that he has to do, he's physically, he was never a guy that was going to go lift weights and just get, a body quickly. He wanted it to mature, and, he knew exactly what he was doing. He's a big guy right now. And, you know, he went up for the test last year and, against Calgary, and it was, I think we've talked about before, Dylan, yep. The thing I liked, he had 19 fights in junior, and they were all for the right reason. You know, when somebody was going after a teammate or somebody, you know, he was not a bully or anything like that. And he got called up against Calgary. We weren't playing very well at the time in a home stretch, And, you know, he knew what he had to do. And it was funny, he went to take on McGrath the first time, and McGrath was like, oh, no, you know, we do this when I want to, son. And so then McGrath was ready later on. They had one. And McGrath certainly had the edge. But he wasn't like tossing Dillon or Dillon. It was a good fight. Dillon had been hit with a stick earlier, and it looked like he was cut from a fight, but it wasn't. And he held his own against the toughest guy in the league, and McGrath gave him a nice little pat in the butt. Because he knows how tough it is coming in at that age to fight a guy like him. Mm-hmm. And we came from behind and won the game. So it was what we needed at the right time. And Nash gave the hat. We have that crazy hat that they give the player of the game, and he went right over. It wasn't because he was plus five or anything. It was because he stood up at the right time for a young boy. And that gave it a little spark, and we won the game. So he's in a good place, and he's playing a lot. Jeff Bookaboom spends a lot of time with him on LRD. And I mean, there's no question. This is the year that is probably gonna make or break him.
Yeah, I would say when I saw him in the preseason, to me it's just about timing. And to me, the way you have to play defense now in the NHL, that little bit of timing between the AHL and NHL is the difference between a lot of players. And I think if he gets that timing back, he'll make it.
Yeah, I tell him all the time. I never played, came to UNH after me, Rod Langway. Rod Langway was a Norris Trophy winner. And the one thing he always did, he was playing with Serge Tavares, Guy Lapointe, Larry Robinson, too. And he got the puck, he just gave it to them. Why should I have it? Why should I try to make all these rushes and play? Because it really isn't his game. And just give it to those guys, because those guys are unbelievable with it. And he became a Norris Trophy winner, because he could play defense, and he just moved the puck to the people who can move it. And that's the biggest. I don't talk Norris Trophy to Dillon, but I talk to him about, you don't have to try to make all these rushes and all these great plays. It's the biggest part of your game is going to be defending, and defending tough, and defending your teammates, and move the puck before you hold onto it too long. Move it. As soon as you see the guy, give it to the forward, give it to your partner, give it to the ones that are going to be more apt to move the puck into a scoring or a rush position. So that's, and you're right, that's just that timing that's going to be the decision he's going to have to make.
Gordy, last guy we want to chat with you about is Danny Christo, who you guys got from the Montreal Canadiens. And you got a chance to see him, up and close and personal in Hartford last year. And that was his first year in the American Hockey League as a pro. And what did you think of his game? And what are your expectations of him coming into this season?
Well, I thought he had a great year last year. We did not have a real powerhouse down there. He was our number one goal scorer. Very good on the power play, and he had a ton of ice time. He's very gifted with his hands, and the only thing that he's doing, I just watched them. They won their opener, and then we lost with one. The first time I've seen the AHL overtime, the whole thing, 4 minutes of 4-4, and then they went to 1.5 second left in the game, and we lost last night. But I saw almost the whole 7 minutes of overtime, and so we're 1-1. But Danny, the biggest, all it is for him is just getting a little bit better in his own end, because it's like college football. I love Saturday night, watching a junior game or wherever we are, and then we all meet, the scouts meet, you go for a beer, and the highlights of college football are on, and it's all offense. It's all these unbelievable runs, all these unbelievable throws and catches. Because college football is mostly about offense. And then you wonder why all these guys and Heisman Trophy winners never, ever play in the NFL. Because the NFL, you have to play defense. And it's the same in the NHL for our junior players. And how well you do in your own end dictates how much ice time you get to do the other stuff that you want to do in the other end. So that's all it is. It's just he came back in good shape. First year being with the organization, and we know he's got the offense, and now it's just cleaning up the defensive part of his game, and he'll get a shot at it.
Gordy, we want to thank you very much for coming on our show. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you at the rink.
Well, guys, I always love running across you, and I'll look forward to that.
Thanks a lot, Gordy. That's Gordy Clark, Director of Player Personnel for the New York Rangers. Russ and I are going to take a quick break on Hockey Prospect Radio and talk more prospects right after these important messages.